An exhibition at the Museum of Biblical Art explores Jewish life in Spain from the vantage point of religious art and shows the close connection between Christians and Jews in the small Iberian towns and cities of the 14th and 15th centuries. Uneasy Communion, Jews, Christians, and the Altarpieces in Medieval Spain is on view through May 30th, and Vivian B. Mann, the curator of the show and director of the Master's Program in Jewish Art at the Graduate School of the Jewish Theological Seminary, joins us now to discuss the exhibit. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
How did you come up with the idea of an exhibit looking at the relationship between Jews and Catholics in medieval Spain? I would have thought Jews and Muslims, because that's the connection I've always heard about.
That is an earlier connection, because the Reconquest took place and the Christians achieved dominance starting in some places in the late 11th century. So gradually, more and more of Spain became Christian, and the Muslims were pushed to the south and particularly to Granada. The art that we have dates from the Christian period, though it sometimes reflects life under the Muslims.
And it predates the Inquisition? Is this little window where there's some kind of an uneasy cooperation?
The Inquisition was established in the late 13th century, but the Inquisition, after all, was looking at conversos, at people who had converted to see that they weren't backsliding. And they were not investigating Jews who had remained Jewish.
You write that these works show an unusual example of convivencia.
Great.
What is that?
Convivencia means living together.
Uh-huh.
And it's a term which is used by historians of society in Spain during the Middle Ages. We used it at the Jewish Museum for the title of an exhibition I did in 92, which explored the cultural relationships between the three population groups.
Although this is something that hasn't been researched all that much, has it?
Not in the area of art.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, people have researched statistics in the archives and tried to determine, you know, how much business was going on and how much interaction, but not the art lay fallow.
So what was going on in Spain in the time we're talking about when this work was created? What was Jewish life like at that time in Spain?
It wasn't all wonderful. There were periods, for example, after the Black Death of 1348, which brought a lot of persecutions in Spain as well as elsewhere.
Because Jews were blamed for it?
They were blamed for something that they had no, of course, nothing to do with. Then in 1391, there were horrible persecutions, which left the community decimated. One-third of the Jews in Spain converted in 1391. It's estimated that one-third died, and only a poor third were left. That is the sort of lower members of the community.
Was this unique to Spain, or were similar things happening throughout Europe?
They always happened throughout Europe, but these particular 1391 in particular was unique to Spain.
Now, Jews were living in separated communities. The ghetto of Italy, for example, was something similar happening in Spain?
The ghetto in Italy is often misunderstood. It was established as a space in which Jews could live. It allowed Jewish residents in Venice, just as other groups like the German traders, for example, had their own specific places. So ironically, though people think about this negatively, we find an upsurge of in the economic life of Jews after the ghetto was established in Italy. In Spain, it was more of self-protection through living in a particular quarter. And remember that the Jewish requirement to be able to walk to the synagogue on the Sabbath and on holy days required them to live within a certain area of their institutions. So these areas were often near the residence of the king, who was their protector, near the castles. And also they were closed off, but it was more for self-protection than anything else.
You focus on the Crown of Aragon. What parts of Spain does that include?
Then it included an awful lot. It was much more than the present region of Aragon. It was really northern Spain to the Mediterranean, the islands of Mallorca, Menorca, southern Italy, areas that we today call southern France, and so forth. It was a very big area.
So was it influenced by the art of southern France and Italy?
Yes, of course. The Spanish artists often went to study, and also in the Netherlands, so that there were influences coming back.
Do we know who these artists were? Because often in medieval times, artists were anonymous.
Yes, but when they painted altarpieces, they had contracts because such big sums were involved. These were such large works of art. And even silver was commissioned and was accompanied by a contract. So, yes, we do know a lot of names.
There are a number of retablos displayed in the exhibit. Mm. Can you describe them?
A retablo is a multi-paneled altarpiece. So whereas before you might have a figure of a saint or Jesus or Mary in the center flanked by one or two figures, now you had many panels on either side with scenes and also a predella, a lower register.
And they would tell different stories about the subjects of the larger painting in the middle.
That's correct.
Christ among the doctors from the early 15th century is one of the highlights of the show. Can you describe that?
The one from the Hispanic Society?
Yeah.
It shows actually preparations for the circumcision of Jesus. Christ among the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go back.
Where there are Jewish worshippers included.
Yes, this is a depiction of a synagogue. And what's remarkable is that in 2003, in the southern city of Lorca, in the province of Murcia, they excavated, by chance, a synagogue that looks exactly like the one in the painting. And noteworthy in the painting is the fact that the illumination of the synagogue was through glass lamps, which are called mosque lamps. It's just a name given to this particular type. And in Lorca, underneath the reader's desk, they found a cache of shards of glass and were able to reconstruct many types of lamps and some 40 examples of this.
So would that suggest that the painters of this Christian painting, this panel, would have visited synagogues or that Jewish artists were involved in painting Christian religious works?
Both. We know from documentation that Jews went to synagogues because they wanted to hear the sermons and learn. And in the same way, Christians came to synagogues to hear sermons. But also Jews, we know, were painters of altarpieces.
And they were just painting them on assignment?
By contract.
Uh-huh. Because usually we think of religious paintings as growing out of some kind of expression of faith.
Not in this case. I mean, presumably not. They were simply hired to do this. And obviously the fact that they were given contracts to paint altarpieces signifies that they were considered knowledgeable about Christian lore.
Has the Moorish influence totally disappeared by this time?
No. The Moors at this point were in the arts, were active in the building trades like tiling and ceilings. And there are some vestiges of Moorish life in the depictions of the altarpieces.
My guest is Vivian B. Mann, curator of Uneasy Communion, Jews, Christians, and the Altarpieces in Medieval Spain, which is on view through May 30th at the Museum of Biblical Art at Broadway and 61st Street. By the way, we have a slideshow of some of the works from the exhibit on our show page at wnyc.org. The exhibit also includes some illuminated manuscripts. What kind of collaboration was there between Jews and Christians in their creation?
The illuminated manuscripts are key to our knowledge that there were mixed ateliers, where there were workshops in which Jews and Christians worked together. And the fact that, and also these workshops produced altarpieces. So you have two kinds of works of art produced in these workshops, and Christians and Jews together.
Many Jews will recognize the name Maimonides, and the illuminated manuscript, The Guide to the Perplexed by Maimonides, is on view. Is it similar in style to Christian illuminated manuscripts?
Not only that, it's similar in style to an altarpiece now in the Morgan Library called The Altarpiece of St. Mark, and both were produced in the same shop.
So Jewish and Christian scholars were working together.
They were working together, and what's interesting is that one of the lesser-known pages of that Maimonides manuscript is a composition drawn from Byzantine art, usually the symbols of the four evangelists, but here used as the four symbols of the chariot of Ezekiel.
So Christians would have recognized the imagery as coming from their own iconography.
Besides that, it implies that there was a model with this imagery in the shop.
We also have the situation of writing in Hebrew or in Roman letters. So what happens there? Would Christians just as easily know how to write in Hebrew?
I don't think so. I think there were very few Christians who knew Hebrew. And if we see Hebrew, it's a mark of the participation of a Jewish artist.
Mm-hmm. So they would bring in the calligrapher, the Jewish calligrapher, and have him take care of this book.
Or he might have been part of the shop and participating in the painting as well.
Now, you mentioned outbreaks of violence against Jews in Spain. First, it was the plague, but of course, later there is the violence that occurs when Jews are expelled by Ferdinand and Isabel in 1492. Had there been a lot of tension building up to the expulsion?
There are two views of the coming of the expulsion. There's what's called, has been termed, the lachrymose vision of Jewish history, where everything was bad. And the more modern view is of a moderation of that, and recognizing that there were times when life was good and life reestablished itself. I think it's important to realize that for millennia after Spain, or for centuries rather, the Jews who left Spain still prided themselves on having left Spain, on having been in Spain.
I suspect this is similar to what we've seen in modern times in places like Bosnia, mm-hmm. where people got along, intermarried, and then because of certain outside or other tensions, suddenly they became enemies.
Bosnia is a very good parallel, because there were the same population groups in Bosnia, too.
There are depictions in some works of what's called the desecration of the host. Mm-hmm. The altarpiece of the Virgin is a good example. Can you describe those scenes?
This was a charge against Jews that arose at the end of the 13th century. The Jews had taken the host and had stabbed it tried to symbolically kill Jesus in this way. It's a blood libel. It's an offshoot of that. And it never happened in Spain. I mean, there was never... And it didn't happen in Italy, and yet those are the two countries where it is also shown in art and also in other places. So it was an unfortunate episode.
Another example of more negative Jewish depictions is in St. Helena Interrogating Judas, painted around 1485-1487. What does that show?
This is an episode from the life of the mother of Constantine, who went to the Holy Land in the 4th century and identified the places connected with the life of Jesus. And then in one of those moments, she wants to locate the true cross, and this Jew, Judas, says he knows where it is, and that's what the interrogation is about. But I think it's important to realize that the whole thing is conceived of as a scene taking place in 15th century Spain, and the knowledge of Jewish life in that scene makes it remarkable.
Well, how are Jews depicted in these works? Are they always set apart from Christians in their dress or appearance?
Yes. They're always set apart by dress, by the fact that their beards are wild and not allowed to be shaped, and also by their clothing.
Did Spanish religious art change significantly after the Jews were expelled?
It changed in style, but some of the same subjects continued.
And were conversos allowed to continue to make this art?
Frankly, I don't know how many conversos continued. I mean, by that time, they would have been elderly after the expulsion.
Mm-hmm. But these are works that are mostly commissioned by the Catholic Church, aren't they?
Yes. Or arms of the Catholic Church, like a chapel, or it might be by the king or a palace owner.
Now, Spanish art has a unique look. You can spot Spanish art even later when it's influenced by Italian art, Velázquez or Goya, Zurbarán especially. Do we see that kind of strange, I don't know what word to use, but piety, I would think, that in these works as well, that you don't find in other parts of Europe?
It depends on the artist. If the artist has gone abroad and studied, it tends to influence, ameliorate those characteristics.
The show, it really is quite wonderful, and unfortunately it's going to close soon. Any plans for it to travel?
No, I'm sorry. No.
But it must have been difficult to put it together.
It required a lot of persuasion, especially in Spain, but I must say that the Hispanic Society and the Metropolitan were great.
There's also a lot of gold in these works. Well, gold leaf isn't all that expensive, but is it?
Gold is expensive.
Gold leaf, you can get it actually down to almost the molecule level.
But the contracts always talk about gold, how much gold is going to go into the painting. So they were very conscious of it.
So all those people who want to see King Tut's gold might want to come and see this show as well.
It might be cheaper.
Vivian B. Mann is curator of Uneasy Communion, Jews, Christians, and the Altarpieces in Medieval Spain, on view now through May 30th at the Museum of Biblical Art on Broadway at 61st Street. And as I said earlier, there's a slideshow of works from the exhibit on our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.